Here we go. There we go. That's us. We are now live. Awesome. Yay. Yay. Welcome, guys. Good to see you if you're joining us online or watching later. We've just had some great worship and some prayer. So it was wonderful. But it's good to see you. Right. Let's pray, shall we? Pray for the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I thank you for our service this morning. I thank you for our time of prayer. Thank you for our time of worship. Thank you for the encouragement and edification and exhortation because of that worship. And I thank you that it can just affect us so much by bringing our worship to you. Thank you that you are worthy of praise. We thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for the scriptures that we have. Literally breathed of you. Thank you that they're described as seeds, and thank you that we're now about to plant some seeds into our hearts. Speak our understanding in the name of Jesus, as scripture says, because if we understand, those seeds will not be stolen. Those seeds will grow and produce fruit. And thank you, Father, that it's fruit that we want in our lives. We want to be a witness to you, Father, to testify of your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are in week 7. Knowing my previous history, probably about a third of the way through. Well, I don't think so. I'm getting near the end because I'm kind of coming to us. Thought the last few weeks were going to be challenging. Just waiting until you hear today. No, next week. A week after. It'll be a bit more challenging. Yeah, so we are looking at compassion in this series of sermons. We've seen that God the Father is compassionate. We've seen examples of Jesus being compassionate. And then last week, I took a wee bit of a tangent, looking at some typology that we've kind of unearthed in this series of sermons. Not directly my revelations, but my revelations now. Sean and Nunzi, sorry you don't get a mention this week. My revelations now. We've been discussing the sermons on a Thursday and on a Saturday morning, and it's just been great getting the feedback. And we've spoken about a few bits of typology, and so I kind of built on that last week to help us understand a bit more about Jesus. And we were looking at typology, it was pointing to his finished work. I mean, the one about him being the high priest as well as the sacrificial lamb, I mean, you can't make it up. It was brilliant. And last week as well, we saw about Jesus' outstretched arms being a picture of love and welcome and the ultimate act of forgiveness. I mean, what did he say when he was on the cross? You know, forgive them for they know not what. As they were actually crucifying him, he was forgiving people. He was being compassionate. Awesome. So we've looked at God, we've looked at Jesus. Who do we look at next? You. Yeah. Let's us. Yes, look at us. So we look at the part we play. Because it's been great looking at what God does. It's been great looking at what Jesus does. But the aim of this is for us to be more compassionate. That's what teaching is. That's what study of the word is. It's for us to be changed. It's for us to move from one state of being to another, and that state of being better, like the caterpillar to the butterfly. Allegedly, it's better being a butterfly than a caterpillar. But butterflies, something they didn't even eat. Caterpillars do nothing but eat. Kind of know which one I'd rather be. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's that metamorphosis is going from one thing to another, and it's normally better. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, metamorphosized. Is that right? Yeah. Metamorphosized. Metamorphosized. Anyway. Metamorpho. Okay, Carl. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renovating, the improvement, the alteration of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we renew in our mind, remember 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We are transformed through mind renewal, transformed through the knowledge of him. That's why we study the word. We didn't just read the word to pass the time, although it's a good way to pass the time. But we didn't read this like a novel. We read it to understand it, to get to the depths of it. Because that, the understanding the word of God, that's what renews our mind. And I don't know about you, but my aim is to manifest more godliness. Become more Christ-like. That's why we accept biblical teaching. That's why some of us teach. That's why we listen to teaching. The aim is transformation. And in this context, what we're talking about for the last 6 weeks and then now, we're looking to be transformed to show more compassion. That can't harm anybody, can it? If each one of us in here becomes more compassionate. I think that's how it's going to affect our families, our homes, our streets, our villages, towns, cities, whatever. So what do we need to learn from the Word of God this week? That's what this is, the aim here. What can we all learn to increase our understanding about Jesus, to manifest more godliness, to be more compassionate? So that's it. So we spent a lot of time previously, I think it was two or three sermons, looking at Jesus as the ultimate example of compassion. I'm sure you'd agree with that. Cleanse the leper. Healed the 10 lepers. Forgave the woman taken in adultery. Had an encounter with the woman at the well. All great stuff. We studied out the account of the Good Samaritan. What does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus was compassionate. Jesus was moved with compassion. To who? To whom? I don't know what the grammar. To whom? Anyone. Everyone, including his enemies. Oh, ouch. That was Jesus, our example. Want to be like Jesus? Want to be like Jesus? Well, be compassionate to your enemies. It's easy to be compassionate to folk you like. I'm going to talk about different types of compassion: human compassion, supernatural compassion. Supernatural compassion is loving your enemy, being compassionate to your enemy. Amen. I want to look today at John 14. Part of the final discourse Jesus has, sort of main discourse that Jesus has with his disciples before his death. The disciples were believers, yes? The disciples were followers of Jesus. What are you? Disciples. Followers of Jesus. So who's John 14 for? Yes. See, I believe that what Jesus said to his disciples then is applicable to his disciples now. Now, some of the smarter ones of you out there will say, oh, but Vic, this is Jesus speaking under the old covenant. That's not really for us. Well, it is if it's confirmed in the new covenant. And loving your neighbour, being compassionate, sure is confirmed in the new covenant. So this is for you. Amen. So with that in mind, what I'm going to read now is for you. New covenant, born again believers, followers of Jesus. Go to John 14. And I will read from verse 8. Pardon me. John 14. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Oh, hallelujah. Wow. Yeah, I see something. I believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, listen to this, this is for you. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, or she do also. And greater works than these shall he or she do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. Now, I want to look specifically at verse 12 today. If you believe in Jesus, hands up. Most of you. Yes, everybody now. Thank you. Wow, 100% record, 100% response. Thank you, Sean. Awesome. Okay, so you're all believers. Yes?
Yeah.
Right. If you believe on Jesus, you can do the same deeds and acts as he did. In fact, you can do greater. It's not me saying that. That's the word. I better ask you another question. You're all believers?
Yes.
Do you actually believe what the word says?
Yes.
Awesome. Good man. Believe what the word says. I read verse 12 again yesterday, and it came out in a new light. And it was like, a smack in the gob when I read it. It was, or a smack in the back of the head, or a bolt from the blue, or a kick up the you-know-what. It really jolted me, that verse. Shocked me. Challenged me. Now, you've heard me teaching on this before. A lot of you will have heard me teaching on this before. And I've heard others teach this in the same way. Because this is a difficult verse. It's a challenging verse. The word greater there can mean more. One of its meanings is more. And I think I actually just maybe skipped over this two or three sermons ago, but I have taught on this before. And it kind of says, we can do what Jesus did. Heal the sick, raise the lepers, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. And we can see more of this because there are millions, indeed billions of us as Christians on the earth. And there was only one of him. And my understanding, and the way I teach, until 9:10 yesterday morning, was that collectively, we do greater, i.e. more works than Jesus, because there's more of us. Now, yeah, Jesus was God, but he was man. On earth, he was in the flesh. One place, one time. You know, when he was not supposed to be chatting to the woman at the well in Samaria, he wasn't anywhere else doing great miracles. He was there chatting away to this woman who he shouldn't have been chatting to. One of him. I mean, I took a register early. How many of us? There's 14 in here. We can be in 14 different places at different times, speaking to 14 different people, healing 14 different people, raising 14 people from the dead, cleansing 14 lepers if we could find them. That's the way I understood that verse, and the way I've been teaching it, and the way I've heard other people teaching it. Let me read that verse to you again and see if what I've read it millions of times, hundreds of times, dozens of times, maybe this verse. But listen to it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Can you see what hit me yesterday? That verse is in the singular. In the singular. It talks of he, not them, not us, not all of you disciples, not all of you in the kingdom, but he in the singular. One, single, he will do also. And then greater will he do. And I was sitting there and thinking, who is that talking about in this passage? It's about he who believes upon him. So that means you. What hit me yesterday morning was that means me. Me on my own, singly. Me can do the same as Jesus and greater. Now, I don't know if that's hitting you as it hit me yesterday, because I'm just, you know, oh yeah, it's about us collectively. There's so many more of us. We can heal so many more people. We can raise so many more from the dead. We can open so many more eyes and ears, because it's us. It's the church. It's everybody in the kingdom. It's the ecclesia. No, it's he. And that just, I was dumbfounded. And I was struggling. So when I'm struggling, go and see Nunzi. So she'd just been in to give me a bye-bye kiss because she was away to work. And I ran through to make a coffee, and she was still standing there and getting ready for work. And I said, look, I'm really struggling with this verse. I just kind of take it in. What's that? Well, it's this verse about greater things. How I teach about it being a numbers thing and about us as a group. And then I said, but this verse is singular. It talks about he, it talks about one person. And Nancy said, oh, how can that be? And I said, but that's what the word says. It's what the word says. What the Bible says is that if we believe in Jesus, we'll do the same works that he did. And we will do greater works. As he will do greater works. And something happened in my brain as I was speaking that out. Now, those of you that know me really well, my brain is a weird thing. It works in a weird way. But it's a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm learning things with what the work Val does, and anyway, I'm learning things that my brain works in a kind of different way. And as I was speaking out those words, I saw them. I saw them in my head as I was speaking them out. And as I was saying, greater works will he do, and the same works will he do, speaking about me, they were capitalized. The he was capitalized. And I went back to my desk, and God was speaking to me, and I had this kind of flash of inspiration. And it was something that I knew already, of course. But you know, you just get that deeper revelation, and you really understand it. And now, like you understood that thing last week, Carol, and you really understood it, although you've known it for years. Last week it just, oh, you knew it. And this revelation went into my heart. And it's, yes, we can do the same things as Jesus. And yes, we can do the greater things in Jesus, but we don't. We do it, but we don't. It sounds stupid, but the Lord's telling me something there. He said, Vic, yes, you do it. You go to the person. You actually make the effort. You make the move. You reach out your hand. You go to speak. But it's me doing it. And it's like when he does the greater things, and actually when he does the same as Jesus, it's he with a capital H. Now, I know it doesn't say that in the scriptures, but it's just the way the Lord showed me that yesterday. It's like, Vic, don't panic. You can do the same things as Jesus. You can do greater things than Jesus, but it's not you. It's me. That's why I had that capital H flash in my head as I was speaking about to Nunzi. Yeah, you might be the one there, you know, for that while that every back I touched was healed. That's not me. But that was me moving in his authority and using his power, and he, capital H, was doing it. Your job, Vic, is to believe, he said. And we know that scripture, John 6. So your work is to believe. My power, my authority, working through you, that gets things done. Just as I was reading John 14:10 there, I read that verse. I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. And I hadn't noticed that yesterday. But I noticed that when I was reading it to you just there. He doeth the works. Our job is to believe. It's his authority, his power working through us that get things done. Michelle used a scripture in communion yesterday. Helped me grasp this truth. You know, it's amazing the way the Lord works. All these coincidences. Anyone else get loads of coincidences when they're in the spirit? Like Sean saying what my sermon was going to be last week before I even started. Like Michelle using a scripture in communion that I needed to help me finish this sermon. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Talking about Jesus Christ. And then it talks about us. And you are complete in him, which is head of all principality and all power. Talking about Jesus and talking about us as believers. All the fullness of God was in Jesus, and we are complete in him. What does that mean? We have the fullness of the Godhead within us. If we believe in him, believe on him, whatever way you want to say it, we have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us. You know what I realised yesterday, and I've said it before, but I really realised it yesterday. Because of that, I can do anything. And you can do anything. If it's godly, if it's biblical, if it's in his will, if you see the Father doing it, there's a few caveats. But you can't go out and rob a bank. Although you could, but you shouldn't. It's not that you can do all things. Even through Philippians, it says, I can do all things. It's got to be godly. It's got to be biblical. Amen. We have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us. Jesus had the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within him. Everything we see him doing, we can do. Because when Jesus was on this earth, you know, this might sound really arrogant, I've got the same as him. So have you. When Jesus was walking this earth as a man, as a human being, filled with the Holy Spirit, with the mind of Christ, able to know all things and do all things, what have we got? Exactly the same. Fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us, Michelle. Of course we can do what Jesus did. Now, I've not worked out the greater things yet. The finish of my sermon is about doing the same things. Okay, I've not worked out the greater yet. But is it greater in a sense because we're not Jesus? You know, if Usain Bolt runs the 100 metres in 9 seconds, that's nothing really, is it? But if I run it in 9 seconds, that's great. You know, is the greater something like that? I'm not sure. Here, you guys may laugh. I used to be the Murray Inter-School Sports 100 metre record holder. I was only 12 at the time. And a lot of years and a lot of something else in between, Evelyn. But is that the greater things? I'm not sure. But all the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. We are complete in him. If we believe on him and believe in him, we have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling within us, which means we can do anything that we see Jesus doing. The first part of John 14:12. Jesus said you can only do what the Father did, only do the will of the Father. That kind of should be our rationale as well. Only do what we see Jesus do. Only want to do the will of Jesus. And that realization yesterday kind of calmed me down and really, it was a real comfort to me. It was a real challenge, that, but it was a comfort as well when I started thinking about that. That in a sense I am doing it, but I'm not. You know, when people were being healed with bad backs, yes, I was saying, can I put my hands on you and pray? But technically it was incorrect, wasn't it? But never mind. Can I put my hands on you? Can I pray? So I was doing that. But Jesus had already healed them. He was doing the healing. What I was doing was operating in his power and his authority. And if we do that, of course, we can do the same as Jesus. Amen. But then I was kind of thinking about, well, how do I sort of wrap this up? What am I going to teach on now, Father? And he spoke to me again and he said, okay, just don't fret about the supernatural. I really believe that's what he said. Don't fret about the supernatural. Now, if you're operating in the supernatural, hallelujah, then I stop. Okay? That's not what I'm going to be telling you. But we're studying compassion at the moment. And not all compassion is supernatural. Not all compassion is miraculous. Now, yes, compassion is a godly character. We see it in the Father, we see it in Jesus. But we're created in his image. Yeah? So in that sense, compassion is and can be a human characteristic as well. We can and should do the same things as he did. That's compassion. But we can do that just as human beings. I think we can get hung up on John 14:12 and think it is impossible. We look at what Jesus did walking on the water. According to that word, we can do it. Anybody tried it recently? Good man. So, see, we should. The word says we can. But I haven't given it a bash. You know, the word says that we can do the same things as Jesus do. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, open blind eyes, open deaf ears. Even in that sense, the Lord was saying, park that for a minute, Vic. Just park that for now. On this list of same things that Jesus can do, along with cleansing lepers, raising the dead, we can, of course, put compassion. Jesus was compassionate. We've seen that, yes? So if we want to do the same things as Jesus, we could maybe start with compassion. Because he did that, we can do it. Jesus loved his fellow men. He was in relationship with them. He cared for them. He loved them. Nothing supernatural about that, is there? Now you need to pray about that to help you to do that. They're kind of human, sometimes, Evelyn, yeah. I'll give you that, fair enough. He was moved to meet their needs. Now, yes, we see Jesus being miraculous. But let's think back to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Just on purely human terms. One man in need, one man met the need. Treated him there at the side of the road. Got him to a place where he could be treated and looked after. Nothing supernatural about that, is there? It's human beings looking after one another, having compassion. That poor footballer who fell down the pitch last night, his mates came, helped him. They took him away, got him to hospital. That was compassion. Nothing supernatural about that, was there? Just human beings looking after each other. The Samaritan did not supernaturally heal the man. That's what I was led to. He didn't lay hands on him and heal him and raise him up. He tended his wounds and then got him to somewhere where he could be treated and helped and looked after. He physically helped him and used his own resources to aid recovery. That's not supernatural. That's not miraculous. You don't have to be working in the supernatural, working in the miraculous to be compassionate, to do the same things that Jesus did. See, we can look at this verse on different levels. Let's park for a moment the raising the dead. Although, yeah, if you are raising the dead, don't stop. That's not what I'm saying. But that was an example of the Good Samaritan Jesus used to tell us about compassion. Nothing supernatural about it. Nothing miraculous about it. Think back to the woman at the well. Jesus never laid hands on her, did he? What did he do? Went to her, made a detour to see her, made some time for her, and spoke to her. What's so supernatural and miraculous about that? And that's compassion. You know, we can do the same things as Jesus. Just maybe need to start small. Came from his compassion. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do for a person is listen to them. Nothing supernatural about that, is there? Nothing miraculous about that. Do you think you could do that? You know, let's start small. I had a long phone call recently. Somebody, and at the end they said, "Oh, Vic, thanks for listening to me again." Because we have regular phone calls. And I just listen. Thanks for letting me get that out. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for listening to me. And I see, and I'm not saying this to blow my trumpet around, but that was compassion. That person had a need. I was moved for that person's need. And I met that need. By doing what? Sitting for 20 minutes in my study, listening to somebody on the phone. Nothing miraculous about that. Nothing supernatural. You can do it. I'm trying to get you to a stage where you can look at John 14:12 and say, I can do that. Maybe not the greater things. Maybe not the raising the dead. Maybe not feeding 5,000. But you know what? I could maybe talk to somebody. I could maybe meet somebody's physical needs. A lot of you are doing that in India. That's not miraculous. That's not supernatural. That's you giving me 15 quid a month. What, you know? Love thy neighbour is what Jesus said in the Gospels. We also saw it was written in the Old Testament. If you look at it, you'll see it written in the New Testament, the New Covenant, Romans 13:9, Galatians 5:14, James 2:8. Same theme throughout the whole word, love thy neighbour. We can do that without the supernatural, without the miraculous. We can start somewhere. That's all that the parable of the Good Samaritan is about, loving thy neighbour. That's why Jesus told us that parable. The guy said, who is my neighbour? A neighbour is someone who needs compassion. And if we're asked to do it, love thy neighbour, we will be equipped to do it. We have been equipped to do it. We can do it on a purely human level, but we've also got the indwelling Holy Spirit. We can do the same that Jesus did. Acts 1:1 and 2 said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began. Very important word. Began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. This verse talks about a work began by Jesus. Give me scripture and verse where he said it's finished. That work of Jesus. I talk about the finished work of Jesus. But stop. There is the finished work of Jesus, but there are other works that Jesus started, like being compassionate, like raising the dead, like loving thy neighbour, like cleansing the lepers. Thank you, Sean. It was his work that was finished, not ours. And just I realised as I said that, I knew someone sitting there thinking, Vic. Anyway. This verse talks about a work begun by Jesus, talks about the apostles that he had chosen carrying it on, his disciples, his believers, his followers carrying it on. I cannot see a verse through the Holy Spirit, who then comes at Pentecost. I cannot see a verse in the New Covenant when the Holy Spirit goes back or when the apostles, the disciples, the believers were told to stop. Jesus began that work of compassion and he passed that on to his disciples and it's never stopped. We are in that long line, I think it's either Titus or Timothy, you can read it, where it talks about believers passing it on to other believers, to pass on to other believers. I should have found that verse, I'll find it later. This has never stopped. That work that Jesus began, not his work, but our works, it's never finished. We can still do the same things that Jesus did. Let's park the greater. Let's just start by doing the things that Jesus did. Let's even park the miraculous, the supernatural. Although if you are doing it, then I stop. Vic told me to stop raising the dead. No, he didn't. I told some of us to park our concerns about that and start doing the same things that Jesus did that actually we can do as a human being. Care for one another. Be there for one another. Talk to one another. Encourage one another. That's all there. Never seen the Holy Spirit go back. Never seen the disciples, the apostles being told to stop. Yes, there are cessationist doctrines out there, but I don't believe they're biblical. I see Jesus starting something, I see the disciples carrying it on, and I see it not stopping. We need to carry on what Jesus started. And in this context, it's compassion. Now, you know that I teach that all things in the Christian life takes time to develop, other than your salvation. It was like that. Hallelujah, I was made righteous. Like that, in my spirit. But the rest, as you move forward, moving in your righteousness and his righteousness, moving in your salvation, everything takes time. I don't get people say to me, I'm on a fast track. No, there's no fast track in the kingdom. There is no microwave Christianity. It's nearly all slow cooker or pickling, which takes a long time. We are transformed through mind renewal. That takes time. We grow and mature as a believer. That takes time. We become more Christ-like. That takes time. Being compassionate may take some of us some time. Or becoming more compassionate may take us some time. I've been really honest in this series. I've told you, back in the day, I'm not going to say I wasn't compassionate, but I wasn't displaying it a lot compared to today. Now, I'm not telling you that because I'm so good. I'm just telling you that that's an example of mind renewal and transformation and understanding about my righteousness and things change. You guys can testify that. You know that as well. The more you understand, the more you get into the Word, the more you know about Jesus, it changes you for the better. One amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Mark 4:26-29, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Actually, I can tell you how a seed works, but we'll not go into that at the moment. Biochemistry and everyone. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade. This is important. But first the blade, then the ear. After that, a full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Things in the kingdom take time. Becoming more passionate, compassionate, takes time. It's a process. The way I see it, we can be compassionate on a purely human level. I see non-believers being compassionate. We have non-believers in our India program being compassionate, giving us up their financial resources and paying money to feed the widows and the orphans. That's compassion. Non-believers, compassion on a purely human level. And then we can move on and be compassionate through His strength. Dare I say, compassionate to our enemies? That's not easy, is it, Evelyn? But probably easier if we're flowing in the Spirit. If we're letting Him guide us, teach us. And then we can move on further and meet needs, be compassionate in a supernatural way. Like the feeding of the 5,000, like the laying on of hands, like healing. I believe that actually you guys, us as a fellowship, building a £50,000 feeding station in India is supernatural. Supernatural compassion. You know, we can all... Don't take this the wrong way. It's not disparaging. We can all throw a few coins in the pot for India. That's human compassion. But what you guys did to build that feeding station was supernatural. So there's levels of compassion. Human compassion, moving into operating in His strength and being guided by Him, and then in the supernatural. Jesus did all that. We're said we can do the same things as Jesus. Don't get hung up on it, guys, if we're down here and we're starting. It's a good, if you're up here and raising the dead, hallelujah! Come and tell me how you do it. Come and teach me. But if we're all further down here, that's okay. That's all right. We've got to start somewhere. We can do the same things that He did. Time with people. Meeting people. Meeting physical needs. What am I trying to say here? What am I trying to say? Let's try and round this up. We can live out John 14:12 today. Or we can live out part of it. Would you agree? We can do some of the same things that Jesus did. Maybe not some of the supernatural stuff, or we feel we're not able. Maybe not the greater, which I'm not sure what that means. But there are things that Jesus did that we can do right now, today. Be there for people. Meet physical needs out of our resources. That kind of things. We can do the smaller things that He did, is what I'm trying to say. And there's nothing wrong with that. First the blade, human compassion. Then the ear, loving your enemies, can be compassionate to your enemies. And then the full corn in the ear, raising the dead. Different levels. Don't be discouraged. Please don't be discouraged if we're operating at the blade level. You can't get the full corn in the ear without the blade. Believe me, I know how barley works. Now you don't want me, Carl, to explain that, but believe me, before you get the full corns in the ear, you've got to have the blade. Well, in fact, you've got to have the germination, but blade, ear, full corn in the ear. Hallelujah. I've got there, you know, if you are raising the dead, if you are cleansing the lepers, please don't stop and go back to the start with the rest of us. Please don't do that. But don't be condemned if you're not at that level. If we're still at the level of the blade, look around you. When you go home, next time you're walking in the street, next time you're at work, next time you're at school, whatever you're doing, look around you. What small human acts of compassion can you do right now? What are the small needs round about you right now? Who are the people round about you right now that you need to be compassionate for? Yeah. But who are they? Can you see them? And then go and do it. What's stopping us talking to a person? What's stopping us helping a person in need? What's the simple need on your doorstep that you can meet right now? That's a challenge I want to leave you with this morning. What is the simple need right on your doorstep, in your home maybe, with your family, with your friends, your neighbour? What is the simple need on your doorstep, on our doorstep, that we can solve right now? Who needs a shoulder to lean on? Who needs an ear to listen to them? Who needs you to have a meal with them? We're allowed to do that now, by the way. We can have people in our homes. I'm just saying that, you know. I like being invited out for meals. No, it's a joke. That's a joke. But who can you invite for a meal? Who can you bless? Who do you think needs that kind of compassion just now? You know, Jesus ate with a lot of people. Why? Because he was a compassionate man. And he gave people time. And that was when you had relationships back then, over the table. Who can you go for a walk and a talk with? Jesus did that. Jesus walked with people, talked with them. You can do the same thing that he did. You know, guys, we can and we should be doing the same things that he did.